You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning. From Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Today we're going to recap last night's Cavs win over the Boston Celtics. They won 128-120 in a game the Cavs are up by a lot, gave up a later lead, but ultimately won at the end. Cavs are now 5-0. The best start in the second LeBron era, their best start to the season in about 30 or so years. And it was a game that was a preview, but not really a preview. We saw the Cavs play a Celtics team without Al Horford, without Jay Crowder, and we didn't really get the kind of look I think, you know, myself and other people thought we might get between these two teams that a lot of people, including myself, think are going to play in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. So we're going to hop right into the breakdown of the game. As always, it's going to be three takeaways, a player of the game, and then I'll give you some wine and gold winners, and then we'll get out of here. So, first up, first takeaway. As I kind of alluded to, these teams didn't really match up in the way I think we expected them to. We saw, you know, Jaylen Brown is a talented guy. He's a rookie. He had some really nice moments last night. But you will not see him defending LeBron James in the playoffs. That will be Jay Crowder's job. That will be Marcus Smart's job. And Marcus Smart did guard LeBron last night. That is something that is just not ever going to be a thing when the playoffs start. And if these teams play, you're not going to see Jay Crowder not on LeBron if he's on the floor at the same time. He's the best option they have to defend LeBron. And him not being there is maybe the second or first most important part of their defense. Somewhere in there. It changed things. And Jaylen Brown did fine. LeBron was in cruise mode for a little bit, and then he had that 20-point third quarter, but, you know, just not really the kind of look she looked. And then Al Horford was out with a concussion, and, you know, Cavs fans out there, I know that you are going to look at Al Horford and say, oh, he's not very good. The Cavs have dominated him in the playoffs, but he's a very good player. He's the Boston's best player. He's already forming a very, very good pick-and-roll duo with Isaiah Thomas. When he's on the floor, Boston's better, and you don't see Jay Crowder and him in the same game. You don't really get the same look. At the same time, you know, you could look at the Cavs and say, okay, your rotations aren't really set. You're still figuring some things out with who you want to play and who is not going to play and that kind of stuff. There's a whole litany of things that we haven't seen with this Cavs team yet that I think it's so early. It's five games into the year for the Cavs. The Celtics are also coming in on a back-to-back. It was going to be hard to ever learn a lot about it from this game. That's kind of a bummer, but still a couple little things to pick up on, and that we'll get into that. And number two is looking a little bit at LeBron. So LeBron James was absurd last night. You know, he had 20 points in the third quarter. I wasn't really sure the energy was going to be there or the willingness to play very aggressive was there early. He was kind of lackadaisical defending Jaylen Brown. Wasn't really putting a lot of effort in. And then he kind of woke up, and then he had that 20-point third quarter. God, he's only 2 points away from Hakeem Olajuwon now for 10th on the NBA's all-time scoring list. And it was a big night for LeBron after that little early, those little early issues. Generally, he drove things last night. And, I mean, this is a guy who is really just on another level in so many ways. I mean, this is a guy who I think even when Kyrie Irving is doing the stuff we've talked about on the show, LeBron's still dictating things. I mean, last night, his 30 points, 12 assists, and 7 boards. Absurd. Just an absurd game for him. He's 1 of 4 from 3, 5 of 5 from the line. You know, 37 minutes. Just a really, really great night for LeBron. And it cannot be stated how big he was in the third quarter. That was a quarter where, you know, the Cavs are up. At that point, they go into the half up 17. And Boston comes out that third quarter playing a lot, but they got a lot of points. They scored 32 points in the third quarter. Without LeBron, the Cavs' offense would have struggled certainly there. It would have not really, it would have put the game a little bit more in jeopardy than it was, and it was closer throughout, you know, the fourth quarter when Boston outscored the Cavs by 11, but LeBron in that third quarter, and then when he came back in the fourth a little bit, was really the game changer in this game. He was just spectacular last night, and I think you can always just kind of note that that's something that matters with him. Number three, and I'm not exactly sure how much this is going to carry over, and we'll have to talk to some, maybe Locked On Celtics about this, but I thought it was really interesting to see how Boston went about defending LeBron. They last night, and partially I think because you don't want to leave Jaylen Brown on an island by himself defending the best player in the world, they were throwing very hard doubles at LeBron whenever he got the ball in any sort of situation where someone was, he was going to be in a position to make a pass off the elbow or, you know, to attack somebody. So, you know, for example, Jaylen Brown to start the game where LeBron would catch it, you know, on the left baseline, and Amir Johnson would immediately leave his man, Kevin Love, and get into position to, you know, defend LeBron and, like, be the double. So, all this off-ball, the Celtics are trying to guard four guys with three defenders. It didn't really work last night. LeBron had a lot of very easy, especially for him, passing lanes for guys that are cutting and moving to lane. I mean, Tristan Thompson, I'm sure you've seen the clip, literally just destroyed Tyler Zeller in a pick and roll, and some of that was because they were shading so hard to LeBron. Another byproduct of this was that the Cavs got a lot of off-ball open threes in the corners and on the wings. I mean, LeBron would just move a little bit, the defense would shift, and then all he has to do is make the simple read, and there's a guy shooting open threes. You know, this isn't a new defense of LeBron. This is something teams have done. But Boston did it really, really tilted last night. And I was surprised just because it was the regular season. This is a game they were playing on a back-to-back. I wasn't sure exactly how much they were going to push or how much they could push. You know, they did. And it's hard also to, you know, that defense's holes gets magnified because of the Cavs, because Kyrie's there, because J.R. Smith's not great off-ball shooter, because Kevin Love is there, and Kevin Love is looking really, really good still this season, and had another pretty good game last night. All I know is, you know, look at his numbers, weren't great, but he went the line 13 times, 8 boards, like 26 points for Kevin Love, really, really good night for him. You just look at everything there, and how Boston defended LeBron really was maybe the most interesting technical part of this game. I think it was the thing that shaded, you know, the outcome the most, and I think it's important to note that that's maybe what they're going to do. I know Jay Crowder is a very good defender, but he can't, he's not going to really be up to stopping LeBron. He's their best option, but I don't know if he's capable of, in the sense of like a Kawhi or a Draymond is capable of, you know, giving LeBron some problems because they're so athletic and so long and just have the right makeup. Crowder is a good defender. I don't know if he can hang up with LeBron, but maybe the way they're going to do it is with Crowder. He's certainly going to do better than Jaylen Brown, who was fine, except when LeBron went engaged. He's better than Marcus Smart, who is just too small. Maybe what you do for Boston is you put Crowder on him, but you shade, and you just hope that Avery Bradley and Al Horford and Isaiah and whoever else is on the floor can just keep enough happening chaotically in the back where they can maybe pick off a pass or they can just scramble enough and work it. A lot of Boston's defensive success against Cleveland is really going to come down to how much they can scramble and how much they can move once LeBron passes the ball. If they can't, they're kind of doomed. They will have no chance of stopping the Cavs offense if they defend LeBron this way and then they can't rotate back and scramble around to get guys covered up. So, player of the game, LeBron James. There's no other option for this. This is a guy who started off the game slower. Again, wasn't sure how much he was really going to want to do. But, you know, let's look at his stat line. 30 points. Maybe the first time he's led the Cavs in scoring this year, I'd have to check. 12 assists, just 2 turnovers, 1 steal, 7 boards, 5 from the line, excuse me, 1 of 4 from 3, 12 of 22 from the field overall. Just a really, really good game for LeBron. Again, 20-point third quarter. His role, you know, is changing a little bit. He caught this crazy pass from Kyrie Irving off the backboard, which is pretty significant, and all this different stuff. And if you look at how he's playing so far to start the year, his overall stats. He's only shooting 27% from three, which is not great, but, you know, it's not terrible. He's shooting 60% on two-point field goals. He has not shot 60% on two-point field goals since his last year in Miami. That would be significant. He's averaging 22 points a game. He's averaging an even 10 assists and 9 boards. This is a guy who, as much as I have talked about Kyrie Irving on the show and being really, really impressed with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James is doing the damn thing to start this year. He is close to averaging a triple-double. He joked last night that if he puts his mind to it, he could average a triple-double. And I actually don't even think he was joking. Like, I really kind of, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if LeBron averaged something like 22, 10, and 10. Because he certainly can do it. And he has the teammates that would really facilitate him doing that. And last night was just a very great LeBron performance. He stabilized things. Kyrie Irving struggled a little bit in the later part of the game. He admitted to it after the game. But just another really good night for LeBron, and he led everything in this team, and he dictated this game. He always dictates games, but last night it really felt like everything was sort of directly revolving around him when, at times this year, we've seen it shift, the focus shift to Kyrie, the focus shift to Kevin Love, and last night was a LeBron-heavy performance. So we'll go on to wine and gold winners. First up, Tristan Thompson. It was great last night. You know, he had a double-double in the first quarter. Had 10 boards, and I didn't even believe the stat sheets when the media people passed them out. Which is crazy. But 15 points, 14 boards, 6 of them from the field. 3 blocks last night, which is very good for him. But he also just literally destroyed Tyler Zeller. LeBron fed him with this little pocket pass, and he just rose up, dunked all over his ex-teammate. Zeller bounced back after the dunk and Tristan then had a yell. Just a great dunk from Thompson. He doesn't get a ton of highlights, but he literally just ended Tyler Zeller last night on TNT. If you haven't seen the clip, there is a video above it and a post over at Fear the Sword, so you should totally go check that out. Next, Jaylen Brown was super impressive last night. This is a guy who was in high school 18 months ago. He's still very raw. I'm not the hugest believer in him because people that are smarter than me when it comes to the draft are skeptical of him, but I was impressed last night. Didn't look scared defending LeBron. Was pretty comfortable getting up in his grill. Defending him smart. Didn't have the urge to go out and defend him at the three-point line. He really did follow the Celtics' strategy. And he started last minute because of Jay Crowder's injury last night. Or injury 2 nights ago, rather. And he did good. He also dunked at one point. He had a very patient bucket that I thought was even more impressive, where he got an up and under on LeBron. A really, really good performance from Jaylen Brown. And I know that's not a Cavs thing, but it was just something significant last night. And maybe if he develops, he gives Boston another guy that can use against the Cavs. I'm not sure it would help that much, though. Next up, I mentioned this a little bit, but Kyrie Irving and LeBron James had a play that I can't believe they pulled it off in-game. Kyrie Irving threw, when he had a clean breakaway after a J.R. Smith steal, he looked like he could dunk himself. And we've seen him actually dunk this year already, which is kind of nuts, but because he doesn't dunk a lot. But he looked back at LeBron like, you want to do this? And LeBron was like, kind of like, yeah. And he threw it off the backboard. LeBron rises, dunks. Crowd goes crazy. Just a fun play. That is also up at Fear the Sword. If you want to go look at the clip of that, but it was just a really fun play. Could not believe they pulled it off in a game. In Amon Shumpert news, he played okay last night, 3-7 from the field, 2-5 from 3, 7-8 from the line, which is very good, 2 assists, no turnovers, 15 points, maybe his best game of the year, which is a very solid performance from Shump, played about 10 minutes by my count as point guard, and he's having a really, really good couple games, and I'm going to play this clip from Tyron Lee's press conference where he talked about Amon Shumpert.
I think Shumpert had 15 tonight. I'm just curious what you thought of him the last couple nights, maybe the last week or so.
I think Shumpert's been great. You know, defensively, he's been great. You know, offensively, making his shot, you know, taking his shot. If he doesn't have a straight line drive, we're moving it. And, you know, he's been great for us. And we know that's what Shumpert can bring to this team. And we want him to take his open shots. We want him to drive the basketball because of speed and power to get to the basketball. I mean, get to the basket. So, you know, just... you know, if he continues to play like this, I mean, it's great for us.
So you heard there from Tyronn Lue, not, you know, overwhelming praise for Shump, but significant nonetheless there. As we look ahead even at some other stuff, Kyrie Irving struggled a little bit last night. He had a very good first half, but he struggled a little bit in the second half. He struggled on defense a little bit. I thought the first half he was very intense in defending Isaiah Thomas, which is a good thing for him. He looked like he was being very competitive, but in the second half, had a few reads. The lead slipped when he was leading the offense with LeBron out. He's playing with, I believe, Richard Jefferson, Kevin Love, Shumpert, and Channing Frye, and LeBron came in and stabilized things, and you could tell Kyrie postgame was a little frustrated with that. So we're going to play a little clip from Kyrie's postgame scrum, so you can kind of hear directly from him how he's feeling after this game, but I don't think overly concerning, but it's just worth noting that I think Kyrie's still adjusting to this role where he's doing a little bit more than maybe he did in years past.
Pattern with you where you kind of sit in the middle of the fourth quarter, come back with 3 minutes left. Is that hard to get immediately into crunch time when you're kind of sitting in the middle of the fourth quarter?
It really starts with the initial start of the fourth quarter and the group that I'm in with. We saw a 16-point lead get down to about six, and you know, for me, I take full responsibility, and it's just got to be more aggressive and more decisive in the plays that we're running, and especially in that time frame. It's a box where I want to extend the lead and really give our guys some rest on the bench, and I didn't do that tonight. So going forward, as I get more accustomed to playing with the group that I'm in, because it could change, it varies. Tonight you saw myself, Kev, Shump, Duns, and RJ, for me personally, as a point guard, I just have to see where, just be more, I don't want to say dictative, but when I'm out there, just take more control of what's going on, especially in that pocket of the fourth quarter before Bron comes back. So,
Ty mentioned, speaking about the team, that you guys get big leads in the battle, and
I don't want to say it's boredom. I think that we just have to muster up our internal motivation of just putting teams away. That's a good team in that locker room. But when we get up a lead like that and things are clicking for us, especially when we come out of halftime, just have to make more of a concerted effort to extend that lead and hopefully get rest in the fourth quarter. It won't happen that way all the time, but for us, we've got to have that mental edge where going forward we're going to need later in the season. So why not start now?
So there you have it, Kyrie Irving from last night talking about the Cavs needing to finish teams. They struggled with that against Orlando, struggled with that a little bit against Houston, struggled with that last night, and his ability to kind of lead the offense in the fourth. Pretty good quotes from Kyrie, I thought. He's kind of spot on there with what he's saying. I don't think it's a big deal. I think he's kind of going to, the team will be fine, he's going to be fine. He's playing really well to start the year. Mentioned this a little bit before, the Cavs did get a lot of nice clean looks on open threes off LeBron action. Just Boston was giving them that shot, and they took advantage of it. Just a good three-point shooting night for the Cavs. Overall, this is a team that shot 14 for 34 from three, 41.2%. Guys like Mike Dunleavy, didn't make their threes, but Shumpert 2 of 5, Channing Frye 3 of 3, Kyrie only 3 of 8, Love 4 of 8, JR only 1 of 4, and they still shot over 40% from 3. That tells you that they're getting open looks, clean looks, and that was definitely a positive for them last night. Tristan Thompson has shot him out again. Did two things I thought were really, really interesting last night. He defended Isaiah Thomas while in space. He got shook once, but Isaiah's maybe the quickest guard in the league, and Tristan stayed in front of him with really positive foot speed and just good reading of the offense, excuse me. Was just played really well last night in those situations. They ask a lot of him in those spots, and he succeeded. He also made a couple nice passes as the Roman when he didn't have a clear shot. I think I'm getting to the opinion that a bigger thing for him when it comes to his growth is, I don't really know if he's ever going to have a jump shot, but if he can make those basic reads as the roll man for guys in the corner or guys in the wing for three, that he gets them open threes, because defenses will collapse on him when him and LeBron are rolling or him and Kyrie are running a pick and roll. I think that would be huge. And I think you saw glimpses of that last time, especially because the reads for him, he didn't have to look past the guy and kind of exactly know where someone is in addition to, you know, placing himself correctly so he doesn't just barrel somebody over in the lane. He made the right reads. And last night, they were very clear, basic reads where he didn't have a guy really to look at him. But I thought that was a significant little development for Tristan there. Kevin Love also, by the way, was the go-to guy late. He missed a couple shots, but the Cavs really went to him. We haven't seen that before, and that was a refreshing change. I expect more of that. I think, you know, they're going to let LeBron kind of ease up, do some other stuff. And he, you know, he was the go-to guy in the fourth quarter. And I think that was pretty significant, especially when he was on the floor with Kyrie. Lastly, like the rest of the world, this was a team watching Thunder Warriors. The World Series is over. They are now switching to basketball, and they seem as interested in this game as the rest of us. And, you know, it's just kind of sometimes you got to remember these guys, as much as they don't always want to be in basketball mode, they're also basketball fans. And, you know, that sort of showed its head when they're literally watching Russell Westbrook try to take on the Warriors kind of by himself, just like the rest of us. So, end of the day, I think everyone was really watching that game. So, that's it for today's show. A little recap of last night's action with some quotes. As always, we're going to do when I cover games. Just so the listener knows sort of how that works for me. I live in the Cleveland area, so I will cover as many home games as I can, barring other commitments or work things that I have for my day job. I'll be there Tuesday. But I will not be traveling, I don't think. Maybe to Detroit if it's the right day. But will not, you know, for example, be going to Philadelphia tomorrow. But tomorrow we will have a preview up of the Sixers game. I know I haven't had a podcast up every day this week. It's been a kind of a wacky week for me, but I apologize. So tomorrow we'll be talking about the Sixers. And then Sunday, also going to have a show where I just talk about Cleveland stuff, kind of Cavs, but also some Indians and some Browns with Daniel Ralph and Fear the Sword. I think it's just been a crazy year of Cleveland sports, and I want to kind of dive into that on the heels of the World Series. And Dan's, you know, a good person to do that with. He's from the area. And he was actually in Chicago. He lives in Chicago now and was there when the Cubbies ended their drought. As always, you can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom. Please go give us that rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. On Monday's Mailbag Show, I will be reading another review. So if you want to get a shout-out on this program, please go leave us a rating and review, and you might hear your name on Monday. Again, it's a Mailbag Show, so please submit your questions to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or to LockedOnCavs on Twitter, or you can drop them to my Twitter at CWMWrites. This is, again, the podcast you want to listen to on the way to work, at work, at the gym. Whenever you get 30 minutes to listen to Cavs, I hope you turn on Locked On Cavaliers. And this has been Chris Manning. This has been Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.